May 2023 marks the 75th anniversary of the birth of modern Israel. In 1988, on its 40th anniversary, Yuri Dan wrote a book called To the Promised Land, The Birth of Israel. And the book notes, quote, in July 1947, nearly 5,000 Jewish survivors of the Nazi Holocaust boarded a ship whose fateful journey would change the course of world history. Its name was the Exodus, and its destination was Palestine, passageway to the Promised Land, end quote. Fast forward to today, Susan Michael is the U.S. Director of the International Christian Embassy, Jerusalem. She said of this important milestone of Israel turning 75 years now, May of 2023 is a really momentous occasion in Israel's history. She turned 75 years old, and she's not just survived for 75 years, she's thriving, end quote. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Susan Michael joins us now. Susan, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, Jerry, it's wonderful to be with you and speak with your audience today, so thank you.
Sure, and I just want to say one quick thing about the United States, since the U.S. was among the very first of the nations to recognize the modern state of Israel. There's a long-standing tradition, not that we've been perfect by any means, but even people like George Washington recognize the Jews coming to America, being free to worship without any kind of harassment and so forth. And every man shall rest under his own vine and fig tree. And that's part of the legacy of the religious history in America, the religious liberty. But let's focus on Israel. First of all, what is this International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem?
Well, Jerry, we are a Christian ministry located there in Jerusalem. We were founded in 1980 when all of the foreign embassies moved out of Jerusalem in protest of it being the capital of the state of Israel. And there were a group of Christian leaders there that had been praying for Israel and had a burden about the situation. And so they seized the moment and they said, we do not support what our governments have done. Therefore, we are starting an international Christian embassy in Jerusalem that represents the millions of Bible-believing Christians around the world who understand the significance of Jerusalem to the Jewish people, because, of course, we read about that in our Bibles, and therefore stand with Israel in spite of what the nations had done. And so that's how we got started, how we got our name. But our mission statement from day one was right out of scripture, Isaiah 40 verse 1. And it says, comfort ye my people, says the Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. And we were very aware that after 1700 years of very bad relations between Jews and Christians, actual teaching of contempt in the Christian church, actually Christian anti-Semitism in much of that history, that we were saying, no, Jesus brings love and compassion. The Bible teaches us to honor the roots of our faith, and we honor you and we stand with you. And so how do we express comfort, but through practical assistance? And so for the last 42 years, we've just been there loving on the people, helping them, the needy, the immigrants, the Holocaust survivors. We help place bomb shelters in vulnerable communities, just any practical way that we can say we're Christians, we love you, we represent millions around the world that pray for you and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we're here to bless you. And so that's our mission there in Israel, because we have representation in over 90 countries. Out in the nations, we focus on education. And I have built a lot of educational tools and programs for churches and individuals to help them understand the biblical significance of Israel and the Jewish people. So that's our ministry in a nutshell.
And I understand that there have been a lot of miracles associated with the rebirth of modern Israel, and even just the fact that it still exists. For example, they were attacked in 1948, 1967, 1973, and in all cases, they prevailed. How about a quick comment on that?
Well, we are celebrating Israel's 75th anniversary, which means that we're celebrating a miracle. Isaiah said, can a nation be born in a day? And it was, and that's a miracle, but also their survival. You rightly listed there the major wars, but in between every one of those wars, there's been constant attack. There's been terrorism, threats of war, and yet they've survived. But more than that, we're celebrating a miracle of thriving. They are one of the happiest countries in the world in spite of all this opposition. They are leading the world in innovation and technology and science and medicine and even security. They're blessing the world and they're becoming a world leader. That is a major miracle.
I understand there is a push, unfortunately, to boycott Israel, especially among some college students and some misguided Americans. Any comment on that?
Well, there is a movement of opposition to Israel, and they have used a very clever propaganda campaign. And we call it the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, the BDS. And this movement has gained its inspiration from the fall of the apartheid regime in South Africa in the 90s. It was a racist regime. The laws of the country were based on racial division and discrimination. It needed to have been brought down, and through a global movement of divestment and sanctions, it was brought down. So Israel's enemies have tried to implement the same thing and using it against Israel in order to bring Israel down. And so it is based on a propaganda campaign that makes it look like Israel is a racist apartheid regime and that it's evil, and it's so bad, it's so evil, it needs to be brought down. That's the real goal of that movement.
Okay, what would you say, having been to Israel yourself on multiple occasions, and you can comment on that too if you wish to, what would you say to the charge that, oh, Israel is an apartheid state?
Well, it absolutely is not an apartheid state. And all you have to do is go to Israel yourself and see it for yourself, and you'll have all the proof you need. Hopefully, you will not have to go to the hospital. But if you go to the hospital, you're going to find Arab doctors working next to Jewish doctors. You're going to find Arab nurses working with Jewish doctors. You're going to find you can't even tell the difference between them, and they're all there united to save lives. If you go to any university in Israel, you're going to find Arabs and Jews studying together. If you get on a city bus, you're going to see Arabs and Jews on the bus. So there's no racial segregation. There's no racial discrimination. Every minority in the world has its struggles. In America, our minorities have their struggles. So yes, the Arab minority in Israel has their struggles, but they have also achieved. We have Arab diplomats in the Israeli Foreign Service. They have served as ambassadors in the Israeli Foreign Service. They have served as Supreme Court justices. So absolutely, there is no apartheid in Israel.
How many times have you been to Israel, and is it something you would encourage our listeners to do if they ever get a chance?
I have been going to Israel for 45 years, and yes, absolutely. Every listener, I encourage you to go if at all possible. Save your money and make this the trip of a lifetime that it will be. It's life-changing because for a Christian, you get to Israel, which is the land of the Bible, and your Bible will just come alive. You will see where it all happened in its geographic setting, but you're also going to see the cultural setting, the Jewish setting, the linguistic setting. So many light bulbs are going to go off. And then you're there and you realize you're surrounded by the fulfillment of prophecy, and prophecy that's also still being fulfilled. And you come away with your faith ignited. You understand how accurate your Bible is, but also how true your Bible is. You can base your life on it and the promises of God in it. He's a faithful God, and he is busy at work fulfilling his promises now and fulfilling prophecies. And so it is absolutely life-changing, and every one of your listeners should make every effort to go to Israel.
But is it safe to do it?
Absolutely. A study just came out in December ranking Israel the fifth safest country for tourism in the world. So it is safe. The tour industry is very, very knowledgeable. They know where the trouble spots are. You'll never go to the trouble spots. And they give you good advice and how to keep you safe while you're there. It is very safe.
Now, you mentioned earlier that within Israel itself, Jews and Arabs often get along, and Arabs can even have good jobs and that sort of thing. But what about all the surrounding Arab nations, some of which to this day it doesn't seem as if they want to even acknowledge or recognize Israel's right to exist? And that's hard to deal with somebody who doesn't think you have the right to exist. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, let's all get along, let's work this out, let's compromise here, compromise there. But how can you compromise on the idea that, well, you don't have the right to exist, but I do? That's incredible.
Yes, it is. And the situation in some ways is continuing, and in some ways it is getting better. So let me just explain a common misunderstanding as we're sitting here in America listening to the news and we get confused. There's two groups of Arabs in what we would call Israel. So you have your Israeli Arabs that live within what we call the Green Line. I'm not going to get into the details. They're Israeli citizens. They've been there since the day Israel was founded. Most of them are Muslim Arabs, but then there's a small number of Christian Arabs. They're Israeli citizens. They are the ones that I'm describing. They are educated. They're able to excel and to achieve. Then in the territories that the Oslo Peace Accords set aside, which is known as the West Bank area and the Gaza Strip. These areas, the Arabs there are not Israeli citizens, and they are the ones that oppose the existence of Israel the most. They do not believe in a two-state solution where they would have a Palestinian state living in peace with an Israeli state. Most of the Palestinians in polls support the view of the Palestinian authority government, which is they believe in one state. They want the whole area to be a Palestinian state. And so this is a real problem. They will not negotiate peace with Israel because they don't want to recognize Israel even exist. Now, out in the larger Arab world, though, we have some major developments just in the last 2 years. And that is the Abraham Accord peace agreements that have been signed with the United Arab Emirates, with Bahrain, and with Morocco, and now Sudan. None of these countries border Israel. None of these countries have been in direct war with Israel. And they have decided that they are tired of the Palestinian cause being a thorn in their side, and they want to have peace with Israel. And it's been a wonderful thing to see. And now there's even rumors that maybe something's going to develop with Saudi Arabia in the next year or so. And that would be major because Saudi Arabia is the keeper of the most holy sites in Islam. And if they were to make peace with Israel, the whole region would break loose in peace with Israel.
Okay, we have 1 minute left. What do you want to say about modern Israel at 75 that hasn't been said? And I'll give your website. It is ICEJUSA.org. Susan Michael, go ahead. Closing thought.
Israel is just an amazing place to visit. And once you visit, you come home, you realize the lifelong passion of wanting to stay engaged. It's a fascinating place. It's an inspirational place. It's a life-changing place. And so please make every effort to get there and see it for yourself.
Yes. Imagine walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ himself. You could do that. It's amazing. Okay, ICEJUSA.org. Susan Michael, thank you so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.